I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, you can waltz across Texas or you can hike across Texas. The Lone Star State is a land of astonishing mass and diversity of landscapes, so why not lace up your hiking boots and set out on an adventure? The state is so vast that it encompasses deserts, pine forests, swamps, mountains, and rolling hills. For hikers, it's a boundless playground, and you might want to pack a guidebook like 100 Classic Hikes in Texas. The author and photographer E. Dan Klepper joins us to give us practical advice on where to go and what to look out for along the trails. What's your favorite hiking path, and do you have an adventure story that you want to share? This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source. But first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Hello, I'm Morgan Handley, Vice President of Programs with Corazon Ministries. Our vision is a community where everyone has a safe place to call home and the support to sustain a healthy life. You can help us bring that vision closer. During TPR's fall fundraising drive, when you become a new or upgraded sustaining TPR member, an anonymous funder will cover the cost of securing an ID for a person experiencing homelessness. That one step opens the way to housing, work, and vital services. Visit tpr.org to make your gift. Thanks.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas is a land of vast horizons, from the desert peaks of Big Bend to the canyons of the Hill Country, from pine forest in the east to red rock cliffs in the Panhandle. It's a state where the landscape tells a compelling story of endurance, beauty, and sometimes danger. It's a world that feels increasingly rushed and divided, but the trail still offers something simple and healing, a place to breathe, to listen, and to reconnect to what is actually real. Today, we're joined by E. Dan Klepper, photographer, artist, and author of the new edition of 100 Classic Hikes in Texas, published by Mountaineers Books. His guide takes us on a journey through all seven of Texas's geographic regions, revealing not just where to hike, but how to experience the state in a deeper way. And Dan Klepper, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me.
So what makes a certain hike classic?
Yeah, good question. I think that's a personal judgment. Sometimes you can go out and you're really just going to take a walk with your dog on a trail, and you know, it becomes something really wonderful and different, and maybe you see something you've never seen before, or experience an answer to some problem that you've been tackling, and it completely changes the way that the hike feels for you. So, you know,
but it does seem like we have certain hikes in Texas trails, yeah, you know, like
sure.
Old Baldy at Garner State Park or Enchanted right. Rock Summit, you know,
sure.
pretty much if you're a hiker, you've done that hike and you can sure. talk about that with others.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there are trails that really are iconic in that they represent the park or the national park or the place, so the mountain range or the region that they take place in. And I guess it's how you sum up a particular region. You know, when people go out to the Big Bend, they go down to the Big Bend National Park, and the one hike that there are several hikes they always want to do. And one is the Lost Mine Trail, which takes you up into the higher elevations, and everybody loves doing that. But the more challenging is to hike up to the tallest peak. And that's a real challenge, but people like to do it. And I guess even in some place like Enchanted Rock, where you know, it's not very far to get to the summit of the rock itself, the Enchanted Rock. But people want to do it because it's iconic. It's a thing that you want to experience.
You just said earlier about going out with your dog for a walk.
Yeah.
How dog friendly are these classic hikes?
Some state parks allow dogs on some trails. Most national parks in Texas, they restrict your pets to places that that you can take your car. They kind of discourage it, especially out in West Texas, where it's pretty wild and there are, you know, a lot of predators in there. I mean, even in East Texas, there are certain places where there are a lot of alligators. And so you want to keep your dog on a leash. You want to keep your dog away from the edge of any waterway that may contain alligators. And, you know, so some of them, so as long as you're, you know, cautious with your pet, then some of the state parks allow people and they allow dogs on the trails. You would just have to check with the park itself.
Well, yeah, you don't want to get your dog to be eaten by a mountain lion or an
you
alligator.
Do not.
Yeah,
at all.
That would be a bad hike.
That would be very bad. Not classic at all.
But so you could do your homework before you go. It seems like that's why this book exists.
You know, I think it really helps to, you know, if you're thinking about taking a trip or even just a day trip, if not a camping weekend, I think it helps to know where you're going. And, you know, the nice thing about this guide is that it not only provides a trail description and a general overview of the trail in map form and some photographs of what you might see, but it also includes information at each location for the hikes. And so it tells you whether there's camping, whether there's swimming, what kind of overnight accommodations there are, what kind of camping, what kind of campgrounds there are, whether they have showers. And it kind of, you know, it lets you know what a little bit about what to expect and also what to prepare for.
Yeah, it does seem though, since this is an updated edition,
it is.
Texas is adding more spaces, more state parks. We passed a constitutional amendment a few years back that creates revenue for buying these lands. There's more things are coming online all the time. So it's worth getting the latest information.
I think so. I think more so, you know, but the years between the first edition and the second edition, I guess it's been more than a decade. And so a lot of things change in the natural world. You know, we had hurricanes completely wiped out places like Galveston Island State Park. So some of the trails in some of these places at Brazos Bend, they had to be completely rerouted. You know, infrastructure was completely destroyed. But more so, a lot of the trails get, you know, decimated by, you know, fires, by hurricanes. And so, you know, the park system is always trying to, you know, stay on top of that and recover as quickly as possible. And sometimes that means changing the route or changing the trail or closing a trail and opening a new one.
Yeah. So do you know right now if anything has changed with the government shutdown with the Big Bend and other federal parks?
Yeah. You're probably not talking to the right guy. So my understanding is that, and from what this is more anecdotal than anything, because I live out here in the Big Bend region. So, and I go down to the park frequently, the Big Bend National Park. And so what I'm seeing is that this is probably what everybody else has heard, is that, you know, resources are limited. You have a limited staff, you have, you know, visitor centers are closed, but you can still go. I mean, you can, my understanding is that you can still get on the trail. There's just nobody at the, you know, at the entrance to take your, you know,
yeah,
to take your, yeah, unlike probably, state
yeah,
parks.
So yeah, we'll talk about that when we come back from the break.
Yeah.
Our phone lines are open. If you have a question, a comment, you want to talk about your favorite hiking trail in the state of Texas, do you have an adventure story from hiking in Texas, an incredible story that we want to hear because it's fun, but maybe we can learn from that. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues after this quick break.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to helping Texas communities and emphasizing safety. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking with Eden Klepper. He's a photographer. He's an artist, an avid hiker, outdoorsman. He's the author of the new edition of 100 Classic Hikes in Texas, and we're talking about if you always wanted to go on some of these hikes but didn't know where to get started, you know, how do you do that? So, Dan, how does someone get started on doing this? Like, you know, I've always heard about people going out to Big Bend. I've never done that. What do I need to know?
Well, first you need to know from San Antonio, it's a very long drive. So you have to...
It's even a longer hike.
It's even a longer hike. You have to make sure to bring a lot of snacks to eat along the way, and once you get there, you're probably going to want to already have a campsite reserved, because after a long day you're just going to want to kick back and relax.
Do I need hiking boots?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think there's a little section in, you know, in the guide about footwear and how you break it. You know, it's important to break it in. It's you know, if you don't want to go out, go to REI, buy your hiking boots, and then that's the only time you tried them on and before you hit the trail.
So they've got to be broken in.
Yeah, absolutely. And
chanclas. Chanclas. Can I use chanclas?
No, you really don't want to do that. Although there are some trails that lead to places to swim that you then want to wear them. And that's typically what I do, is if I'm going to end up in the water, then I'm going to wear my chanclas on the trail. But as far as hiking boots go, you know, they could be really comfortable when you try them on at the store, and then after you walk in them and hike in them an hour, then you realize, oh, I've made a terrible mistake and this is really painful. But there are things that you can do, you know, when you've got your new boots on and you're breaking them in, and then you get on the trail and you start to feel like a hot spot on your heel or your ankle or the bottom of your foot. Don't ignore it. You want to stop, relax, take your boot off, figure out what's going on. Maybe there's something, you know, like a little pebble, maybe it's just rubbing. And then if you have some moleskin or Band-Aid, or I use duct tape, because
don't
it
ignore it.
Don't
let it build up and really do some damage to you.
Exactly.
Let me go to a caller. The number is 833-877-8255. We have Jennifer on the line. Jennifer, go ahead.
Hey, hi, Dan. I've enjoyed your articles all over for many, many years, and I appreciate you being on The Source. So I have been a hiker since I was a young child, so 65 plus years, all over Texas, but I never made it to Bastrop, to the Lost Pines. Have you heard if the trails there are rebuilt enough to really enjoy that hike?
Yes, absolutely.
Jennifer, thank you for the call. And they had, is that a fire? Is that the concern?
Yeah, there was you know, the Bastrop fire that burned a considerable percentage of the stand of what they call Lost Pines. The trails had to be restructured. But, you know, also what the park has done is this extensive replanting of the Lost Forest. And some of the trails will travel through with the remaining surviving pines, and then some of the trails actually travel through the areas that were burned out and then the regrowth has been established. And it's really interesting to see the difference and to see the process of this forest regenerating. And so I would highly recommend, if you're in the area, to take a look. It's a nice park.
Speaking of fire, just recently the state of Texas has well over half the state in wildfire danger status due to the ongoing drought. What should somebody be thinking about if they're going to go hiking in an area that has been earmarked as, like, we're in a wildfire danger area?
Well, the some of the weather apps, apps that you can get on your phone, oftentimes they'll tell you the level of fire danger in a particular region for the day. And that's definitely something to watch. If there is a fire already occurring in a region, you just want to make sure you pay attention to where that's happening and avoid the area completely.
I got an email from a listener, Cheryl Hamilton. She says that she's a volunteer preventive search and rescue ranger at Big Bend National Park. And that she says Texas is one of the best states in the country for hiking and backpacking, and I highly recommend your book, Mr. Klepper.
Thank you.
But she really wants to talk about how hikers need to be prepared with water, proper footwear, proper clothing, essential supplies, and that you talk about this in the book. There's an entire section on hiking safety. People need to know what they're getting into before they head out on the long, lonely trail, don't they?
Yes, they do. And that was something that my publisher, Mountaineers Books, includes in all of their hiking guides. And so it was important for me to customize those precautions specifically for Texas. The most dangerous thing that you can confront on a trail in Texas is the heat. And so you really have to be cautious. We lose more hikers due to heat exhaustion and hyperthermia than pretty much anything else. And it's because people, a lot of times they just don't bring enough water. They don't recognize that they're getting overheated. And so you really need to recognize the signs, not only for yourself, but especially if you're hiking, you're taking younger people, children on the hike with you, because they can't recognize. They don't really recognize the signs. And for young people, the effects are faster and quicker and more dangerous.
So now that it's cooling off a bit, is this a better time to try some of these hikes?
Oh, absolutely. October, my two favorite months are October and April in Texas, because it's just, it's a beautiful, balmy weather. Pretty much wherever you go, the nights are a little bit chilly sometimes. The height of the summer, there are a few places that you can go, but you just have to be more cautious about hiking during the height of the summer. You just don't. There are many, many trails out and around Texas where you don't want to be out on them in the middle of the day at all, period.
Right. You have some hikes, you have them rated from, easy to moderate to rigorous in the book. And so like we were talking about that lost, was it the trail in Big Bend?
Lost Mine Trail.
Yeah, it's only about 2.5 miles. So, but it's up 1,000 feet.
Yeah, it's up. It's straight up. And then you have to come straight down.
So what is that? What would you rate that?
Well, I think I have it as strenuous, do I not?
And yeah. Don't be fooled by this. It's just, 2.5 miles.
And that's true of a lot of trails, especially out in West Texas. And up in the panhandle where you're starting the trail and you're looking at this vista and you're like, oh okay, well, it's only, 3 miles and, I'm going to end up somewhere over there. I can kind of see it. But what you don't realize is that, once you get on the trail, the topography dramatically changes and you can't see how you have to dip into canyons and hike up ridges, and you have to do that.
All right, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we got to do some pitching to keep our public radio station strong, do some breaks and come back, and we'll talk more about some of these hikes, specific ones from across the state. You definitely want to hear from our listeners. The number is 833-877-8255. Dan Klepper is with us. 100 Classic Hikes in Texas. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
My name is Stephen Fowler, and I'm a politics reporter for NPR based in the South. When the DOGE initiative said that it was saving taxpayers billions of dollars by firing federal workers and making wholesale changes to government, through hours and hours of research and fact-checking, we did reporting that found that was not the case. We brought the receipts. NPR's coverage of government restructuring isn't just for and about people in D.C. It's reporting from member stations across the country, bringing the impacts in their local communities, whether you're in Washington, D.C., or Atlanta, or Anchorage, Alaska. I think right now what the audience needs from NPR is more community, more information, more understanding. When you donate to this station, that's the type of journalism you support. Please give to this station today.
The number to call is 800-622-8977. Go to tpr.org. I mean, every second, the internet is filling up with more words, more images, more videos, and more lies. Artificial intelligence has given everyone the power to create fake news that looks so real. A politician can be made to say something that they never said. A crowd scene can be conjured up out of just pixels. A story can be fabricated out of thin air and posted on your friend's feed just before breakfast, and you would never even know that it's fake. Just yesterday, I saw online a video of Marilyn Monroe on Mr. Rogers. I mean, it looked absolutely real, but Marilyn died in 1962 and Mr. Rogers didn't start broadcasting until like 1968. So yeah, it was fake. And just about everything online these days is fake. You just probably should assume everything is fake. Even the comments online, since these hostile ones that are generated out there online, these comments, they come from bots, AI bots. One study estimates that 50% of the political comments that you find online are from AI bots, and these are mainly employed by the right wing. So these aren't just bad actors working in the shadows. They're algorithms doing what they can do, designed to do to grab your attention, stir your emotions, and keep you scrolling and keep you from knowing the truth. And it's working. Researchers saying that we're entering an age of information pollution, a fog so thick that it's impossible to know what is real. You can give us a call right now to support Texas Public Radio, where we're trying to be the counter to information pollution. 800-622-8977.
And we are in the middle of a challenge right now. Every dollar you give helps unlock even more support for reliable TPR. Your gift counts double, but only if we meet this goal. $5,855 left to raise before 3 p.m. in order to unlock $5,000 in funding. Go to tpr.org or call 800-622-8977. Dave, with what you were saying before, when people start to doubt everything, something really dangerous happens. They stop believing anything. Surveys already show it. Trust in news shared on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram is dropping really fast. Many users say they no longer know which posts are authentic and which were generated by a machine. Some are quietly giving up on social media as a place for truth altogether. But here's the problem. If people turn away from the online noise, where do they go next? There is another place that is closer to home. Local news. Your community's reporters, the journalists who know the streets, the schools, the water bills, the city council votes, and can spot when something doesn't quite add up. Maybe you went to high school in San Antonio with Dave or with Joey Palacios. You know they're real. You know they're not AI corporate media digital puppets. And when a rumor races through social media, it's often a local newsroom that checks it, verifies it, and puts the story straight. Local journalism is where trust can live again because it's accountable, transparent, and built on relationships. You might even know the reporter. You might even hear them on the station.
So here's the other side of the story. At the very moment, this right now, we need local, trustworthy journalists, the most that we can get here in a newsroom, so we are fighting to survive. Advertising dollars are draining away. Newspapers are closing. Reporters are being laid off. Even public radio, the last stronghold of reliable local journalism, we are facing budget cuts and growing costs. Federal dollars have been taken out. Support truth. Support your local station. 800-622-8977. And thank you. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With more than 80 parks, 56 wildlife management areas, 9 natural areas, and 28 historic sites and parklands, Texas offers a wide range of hiking options. In the new edition of 100 Classic Hikes Texas, the writer, hiker, and native Texan E. Dan Klepper explores the most beautiful, iconic, and interesting trails from the Panhandle to the Gulf Coast to Big Bend to the Piney Woods. He gives us some tips on how to discover Texas. Dan, did you have a hard time finding 100 of these hikes, or was it like you had to really eliminate some ones you wish you could squeeze in, but you had to keep it to 100?
Yes, that was that's the publisher's requirement for this series, is that you have to keep it to 100. It is a difficult choice to make. I do want to say one thing in reference to your pitch before the commercial break. This guide is not fake, and I didn't use ChatGPT to write it. In fact, one of the selling points of this hike, one of the great things about this hiking guide is that, and one of the most difficult things I had to do, much more difficult than actually doing these hikes, was that I contacted every stakeholder for each location, whether it was a trail crew or a park ranger or a conservation scientist or a park manager, in order to ensure that the information that I was providing was correct. So the guide is not just about my experiences. It's about the experience of hiking in Texas. I just wanted to make that point. So
our phone lines are open. If you got a question, a comment, you want to tell us about your favorite hiking spot in Texas or warn us about some things that are out there, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Well, Dan, when you had the description of what to do in case you're attacked by a mountain lion in the book, and I tell you, it convinced me never to go any place near where there might be mountain lions. It was horrific, you know.
Well, it does happen on occasion, and not only in Texas, of course. It happens wherever there is a healthy population of mountain lions, but you know, don't let that put you off. I mean, it's not a regular occurrence.
So just don't go hiking with a pork chop around your neck.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
So other states, though, like, you know, have a lot of public lands. We do not have hardly that many public lands. It's like almost 97% private owned across the state of Texas. So when you live in a state like Utah or even New Mexico, there's a lot more public lands available. I mean, people automatically assume that this is not a hike-friendly state. So how do you rectify that?
You know, it is a hike-friendly state. You know, it's so the diversity in Texas is so remarkable, and there are parks and trails in every region that you can tackle and experience that diversity, whether it's in wildlife or in botany or in weather. And you know, when you say it's 97% privately owned, people have to remember that 97% is primarily, you know, ranch lands or grazing lands. And so when you're on these trails, or for many of these locations, you are also surrounded by, you know, vast acreage that is doesn't have any population on it at all, because it's, you know, it's rangeland. You may see a cow or 10, but you're not going to see a lot of development for the most part. And so you still get the sense, you still get the vistas. You're just not able to just, unlike in public lands, like it's say in New Mexico or Wyoming, you aren't able to chart this, you know, 10-day trek over that, where you're always in public lands. So, you know, that there is a difference, but there's plenty to offer.
Okay,
here.
Let's go to a caller. The number is 833-877-8255. We have Jenny, and Jenny, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering or hoping if this guide has any kind of information as to the predatory wildlife or the prevalence of that, of especially big cats. I love to hike so much, but I have such a terrible fear of mountain lions because I saw one up close one time. You know, perhaps any tips to quell the fears of predatory wildlife out in the open, if, you know, or if it's just kind of one of those things like you just got to deal with it.
All right. Well, Jenny, thank you. I share those concerns. So, Dan, we talked a little bit about cougars and mountain lions before.
Yeah.
So let's go in a little bit more. And we mentioned alligators. We do have bears. So right. Are they more afraid of us than we are of them?
You know, I would say yes. Also, you know, Jenny, thank you for the call. Now that you've come face to face with a mountain lion, you know what to do. I mean, you know, nothing, you know, terrible happened other than it was really disconcerting. I've been on the trail quite a number of times and see footprints or paw prints of mountain lions either in front of me or, you know, when I turn around and go back to the trailhead behind me. And I've seen a number of mountain lions, but they're not really interested in you. You're in their territory and they would prefer to not be seen. In fact, there's probably a mountain lion within a 10-mile radius of any of the rural communities throughout the state. You just don't see them. And I think you should be cautious, of course, but, you know, the prevalence of alligators, especially throughout East Texas and along the coastline, that's something that's relatively new that a lot of older Texans did not grow up with. And that the reestablishment of the alligator population is a pretty remarkable 20th century, you know, environment. Species reintroduction success, you know, but you have to really be cautious because they're, you know, you don't see them just like until they surface. And so you want to be cautious about where you're swimming. You want to be cautious about where you're fishing. And so there are certain, yeah, there are certain precautions that you can take, but I would just, you know, it's like fear of getting struck by lightning. It's likely not going to.
Well, that could happen too.
Well, it's likely not.
It's in your book.
Likely to occur unless you put yourself in a situation where it can occur, and that, you know, that's wild weather. It's not a good idea to. I have a whole section about how, you know, watching the weather and being aware that how weather can change dramatically in a very short period of time. I think the probably the most dangerous hiking confrontation would be with rattlesnakes. You know, that's what we have. They're everywhere in Texas. They're, you know, in not only on the trails, but they're in people's backyards. Texans are very, very aware that there is a large rattlesnake population in Texas.
You know, I was hoping to have this conversation to inspire people to go out and start hiking and enjoy the outdoors. I don't know. We may be having the opposite effect.
Yeah, I think we're veering
scorpions,
off into the veering into danger territory. Well, it's a lot more exciting to talk about, you know, predators than a happy day with kittens and balloons on the trail, I guess.
Right. So,
thanks, Dave, for steering it that way.
Well, if it was dangerous, then no one would do it. It does seem like there are a lot. How crowded do some of these trails get, particularly at Texas state parks on weekends and long holidays?
Yeah, surprisingly, you know, people, I think especially, you know, and how many times have you heard this, you know, during the pandemic, people sought out activities that inspire them or bring joy to their lives. And that really is being in nature, you know, and most people gonna appreciate that. And so you saw more participation. People, instead of traveling afar, they would travel, you know, closer to home, and that included state parks and national parks. You know, I've lived here in just north of Big Bend National Park for the last 25 years, and the visitation that comes through this little community I live in, that's the gateway to the Big Bend National Park, and I've seen a remarkable increase of visitation from, you know, when I was first here, it was maybe, you know, 100,000 people a year, and now it's up to over half a million people a year. People, you know, I think there's just more people, but I also think there's more Texans, and I also think that more people are appreciating what's in their own backyard, and so this guide kind of helps Texans to recognize what they have in their backyard, but it also helps people who aren't familiar with hiking trails in Texas.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the hidden gems of Texas for people who want to do some hiking, what else is out there, and what's the etiquette of the trail? What would be just rude behavior? We need to talk about that. If you've got questions or comments, pet peeves for what you've seen out there on the trail, what do you want people to know to stop doing? 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues after this quick break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're joined by E. Dan Klepper. He's a photographer, artist, author of the new edition of 100 Classic Hikes in Texas, published by Mountaineers Books. So you can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255. Dan, you started out hiking these trails while you're just a toddler, I think, right? Your dad was the outdoor editor at Express News?
He was for pretty much his entire career from 1956 till he passed away in 1993.
Wow. And so you got this from the very beginning. I guess it's pretty much in your genes.
Yeah. And my dad was an outdoorsman. And my mom, who is still with us, is a biologist. So I kind of got this, you know, mix of the knowledge from these two people. One how to move through the natural world and how to understand it.
And yes, so how much of when I go on a hike, it's not just about walking, it's about what understanding, like what names of plants or identifying certain things. Is that part of the joy?
Well, for some people it is. I mean, I think for some people it's just, you know, additional information they don't want to clutter their mind with. You can carry some people actually carry a guide, you know, for a plant or geology or, you know, wildlife.
That's the joy of learning
insects.
About the natural world.
Well,
I mean, it's incredible.
I would agree with you. I would absolutely agree. There are, and now there are apps that you can carry on your phone where you could just take a picture of whatever you're seeing, you know, like a flower or a leaf, and it'll go, oh, well, that's, you know, that's blah, blah.
Yeah, that's an agave. And so do you get good coverage in these hikes? Or you're out there, you don't have cell service because people want to get away from the doom scroll.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it depends on the trail. You know, the farther away you get from civilization, the less you have service. But which brings up an important point is, you know, people are now depending on GPS on their phones to negotiate trails. And it's unless you're in an urban area or near an urban area where and the park is relatively small acreage wise, you just want to carry a map. You just want to make sure you have your topo map. You want to be able to know how to read it because the GPS, you know, maps, they're good for getting you from one side of town to the other, but they're not necessarily all.
Well, that's like a whole new skill set of being able to read a map nowadays. I guess having a compass would help. Those things are, and so, yeah, that's definitely boomer territory there. let's go to a caller. Let's go to Carlos. And Carlos, you're on the air.
Yes, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I heard about a trail across Texas that starts from Orange all the way to El Paso. And I believe two people have done it already. I don't know if you guys have any more information on that.
All right, the Cross Texas Trail, straight across the width of Texas. And so that's something that they're trying to actually, you know, make happen. So Dan Klepper, can you tell us more?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that much about it because it's not an established trail yet. And I think there's a group that they're trying to configure that trail system. Surely, I don't think it's going to be contiguous, but I think that I think everybody would like it to be. You know, I think that happens in other states with a lot of public lands, but you know, I think you probably have to detour. There's a trail, the Lone Star Trail in East Texas
this trail right now is not a real trail, established trail. What they have is a draft route that stitches together existing roads and gravel tracks and rural back roads, public trails and parks. There's some gaps where the route must cross over private land, and they have to negotiate that right away. It's coming together. It is something that a lot of people are hoping really becomes a big deal.
I am all for it.
But can you imagine doing that 1,500 mile hike?
You know, I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think I would take my time.
I wouldn't do it in a day. And so what do you think is the big hidden gem, you know, that people don't really, we people should really try to get to?
Yeah. Probably, you know, and I'm a little biased because I live out here and I love this park. So I probably, you know, I don't want to ruin it by having it packed with people, but Big Bend Ranch State Park is adjacent to Big Bend National Park, and it's rugged, it's rough, it's probably my favorite park to hike in. You can, you know, if you know what you're doing, you can backpack through it. There's a lot more water sources, although they're not really dependable, but there are more options for planning a 2 to 3 day hike through Big Bend.
Right. So we didn't get to the pet peeves, but your book does tell people to use their AirPods. Don't be blaring loud music on the trail. It is no one wants to hear that. And I think that's good advice all around. Dan Klepper, the author of the new edition of 100 Classic Hikes in Texas. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for hosting me.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
federal funding for public media eliminated, listeners all over this country are stepping up to support public radio. Hi, I'm Elsa Chang from All Things Considered.
And I'm Aisha Roscoe from Weekend Edition. We're here to share a little of what people are saying. Kyle in Brooklyn says, I'm skipping 2 lattes a month to keep Steve Inskeep in my ear each morning. We see you and thank you, Kyle.
Farouk in El Paso, Texas says, public radio is one of the key bloodlines of this country, keeping communities connected. Thank you, Farouk.
And Diane in Juneau, Alaska says, I'm so sorry this day has come. You have my support as long as I am able. Thanks, Diane.
If you have already made your gift to the station, or if you're a sustaining donor, seriously, thank you.
If not, please join the movement to protect public radio today and tell us why you're stepping up.
Here's how to donate, and thanks.
800-622-8977. That's our fundraising drive number. And you can also do it online at tpr.org. Use the Smart app. So we've been talking about hiking in Texas today on The Source, and even the longest hike starts with one step. And that's what we're doing here today on Texas Public Radio. We're all on this hike together. We're hiking through the rocky canyon of disinformation and distraction and toxic information. We're trying to get to the other side where real facts matter. And so that long hike starts with you taking that first step by becoming a sustaining member of Texas Public Radio. Take that step. Step up. 800-622-8977. With me in the studio is Dan Katz.
And I want to say thank you to Edward Skull, who says, if you love America, support this station. Thank you, Edward. We are in the middle of a challenge right now. Every dollar you give helps unlock even more support for TPR. Your gift is doubled, but only if we meet this goal. We've got just over $5,000 left to raise to unlock an additional $5,000. Go to tpr.org or call 800-622-8977 to help us get there. You know, when the world feels divided, when the headlines are loud and the conversations online get toxic, there is still a place where people can come together to listen, to really listen. And that place is here on Texas Public Radio. Every day we sit around this shared campfire of sound to learn, to reflect, and to understand one another a little better. And when you become a sustaining member of TPR, you're helping keep that flame alive. 800-622-8977, tpr.org.
So think about it. In this time when so much seems uncertain, when technology is dividing us and misinformation spreads faster than the truth, public radio still believes in something simple. People talking to people, people listening to people, neighbors sharing stories, reporters asking questions that matter, communities like ours coming together to face tough challenges with facts, empathy, compassion, and hope. And that's where your monthly sustaining gifts, they make that possible. They make this happen. It's not just about keeping the lights on or the microphones working. It's about building trust. It's about, you know, creating that trust which holds a community together. We just cannot do it without you. Give us a call right now, 800-622-8977, to build this community. And Dan?
I want to say thank you to Jose Rivera for his donation. $4,842 left to raise to meet this challenge. When you become a sustaining member, your gift says, I believe that truth still matters. I believe in thoughtful conversation instead of shouting. I believe in this community, and I want it to be strong. You're investing in civil dialogue. You're supporting local journalism that listens before it speaks. You're helping us tell the stories of people who live, work, struggle, and dream in this remarkable place that we call home.
And so here at Texas Public Radio, we don't take sides, we take responsibility. We bring clarity to confusion, we bring light to dark corners to remind us that even in troubled times, we are not powerless because we have each other. If that sounds like the kind of Texas that you want to live in, then I'm asking you right now, become a sustaining member. It's $10 a month. It could be $20. It could be more. It's all up to you, whatever fits in your life. But it does matter. It really does. Call now, 800-622-8977.
Your sustaining membership gives Texas Public Radio the strength to keep going, the strength to keep growing, and to keep connecting us every day. through honesty, curiosity, and compassion. So take a moment, go to tpr.org, call 800-622-8977, and become a sustaining member right now, because strong communities don't just happen. We build them together.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for believing. Thank you for calling in.